This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, May 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. It's 8 o'clock. There's big news for beekeepers on the Western Slope. KBNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Africanized honeybees were just found in Palisade. It all started a few weeks ago when Bob Hammond, an extension agent for Colorado State University, was approached by a local beekeeper.
Late April, about 3 weeks ago, a local fruit grower and beekeeper brought in a box with some bees in there, and he said they're really aggressive. Usually he can go and just wear a veil and leather gloves and a long sleeve shirt to work with them and with no problems, but he said he had trouble even getting close to this mean hive. He suspected they were Africanized bees.
Africanized honeybees are similar to the common European honeybees, except for a few small things. Take their swarming, for example.
A swarm is when a queen leaves a colony and a bunch of workers follow her, so they're making a new colony.
And this swarm isn't just a couple of bees. It's not even a couple hundred.
Oh, thousands of bees. They can be, soccer ball size clusters of bees.
Now, European honeybees and the Africanized version both swarm. The difference is in their mood.
You know, with our European honeybees, especially when they're swarming, they're really docile. When they're swarming, you can go up and take handfuls without getting stung.
The Africanized aren't so friendly. Bob says they're more aggressive and defensive. They'll attack as a huge group, and with so many attacking bees, they can deliver an incredible amount of stings. Bob doubted, though, that these bees were this Africanized version. He took them from the beekeeper and sent them off to get tested.
And a couple days later, I got a note back that said they tested being positive for Africanized bees with 99% confidence level, and I was stunned.
Africanized bees have been found in Colorado before. What stunned Bob Hammond, what makes this different, was that it was still spring.
Known that for a long time that they are introduced probably on a semi-regular basis, but the general thought is they can't survive our winters because they're not very winter hardy. Well, this definitely survived the winter, and we don't know if it's been going on for some time or if there's some sort of change in the population. We have a lot to learn. I'm relatively certain there's more of them. We didn't find the only one.
Hammond doesn't think that this will have any impact on agriculture in the state, but he does stress that beekeepers and honey producers will have to remain vigilant and have any unusually aggressive bees brought in for testing. Colorado State University will be opening up their own lab in Fort Collins soon. More information can be found at wci.colostate.edu. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
This week, KUNC in Greeley and Rocky Mountain PBS are looking at mental health funding and services across Colorado as part of their series, Untreated, How Ignoring Mental Illness Costs Us All. Today, we turn to Larimer County, where voters have twice rejected ballot issues in recent years aimed at funding the county jail. As KUNC's Grace Hood reports, the community is still struggling to meet the needs of the mentally ill.
Fort Collins police officer Maureen Ngo is just starting her patrol shift. The 18-year veteran scrolls through announcements and emails on a laptop inside her patrol car.
This is interesting.
It doesn't take long before her workday overlaps with someone's mental illness. In one message, another police officer has issued a warning about a potentially violent situation.
She has mental health issues, and she also has drug issues. But that she said that her time to assault a police officer was overdue.
Officers like Ngo have been trained to handle situations like this, and they're becoming more routine. Calls related to the act of suicide or threats increased from 4 per 1,000 people to 5 per 1,000 over the last 5 years. Calls requesting welfare-related checks from the police went from 15.5 to 23 per 1,000 residents, a jump of almost 50%.
It's just this recidivism of them having a problem, getting help, for the moment and then going back into the community, and now we deal with them having a problem again. And it's, you know, the people that are quote-unquote frequent flyers that need help.
According to data compiled by Rocky Mountain PBS iNews, people with mental illnesses are more than five times as likely to wind up in jail or prison than a psychiatric bed. Because the Fort Collins Police Department doesn't have a jail of its own, it houses inmates at the Larimer County Jail. Once inside, those with mental illnesses cross paths with clinical psychologist Dr. Janice Ort. She evaluates and coordinates their care.
The numbers of people coming into custody who are what we call dual diagnosed, so they have not only alcohol or drug problems, but also psychiatric problems, has increased dramatically.
In particular, Ort says she's seeing more significant and persisting mental illnesses like mood, bipolar, psychotic disorders, and schizophrenia. A decline in funding has decreased options for those in need of mental health treatment, and jails are one place that can't say no to the mentally ill.
My goal here running the jail, I want to find a way to not bring those people back as inmates a second time.
Captain Tim Palmer oversees operations at the Larimer County Jail, which last year spent more than $83,000 in psychotropic medications like Risperdal to treat schizophrenia. When it comes to inmates with severe mental illnesses, Palmer says there are some costs the jail simply can't control.
There are times when we know somebody needs to go to the state mental hospital, or the court orders them to go to the state mental hospital, and there is just not a bed available. It may take sometimes 30 days or more before we can get them there for that treatment.
Which at an average cost of $87 a day to house an inmate adds up to more than $2,600. Palmer says the jail is saving taxpayers money in other ways. The county runs a specialty probation program and has built a relationship with mental health provider Touchstone Health Partners. This helps cover the cost of expensive prescription drugs when a Touchstone client enters the jail.
Once they're back on their medication, quite often they're just fine. Sometimes it's the lack of their continuity of medication that creates their involvement in the criminal justice system.
And there are other ways of maximizing resources in the county.
Okay, everybody, we'll get started.
Dr. Dan Dworkin is a full-time psychologist with the Fort Collins Police Department. He's calling to order the interagency group. It's a meeting between police, jail officials, health providers, and others helping those with chronic mental illnesses.
All right, well, we're going to go on to discuss the cases themselves.
Each month, the group reviews dozens of cases, seeking ways to coordinate services, care, and treatment.
Everyone has a little piece of the puzzle in terms of what they offer in terms of services. If they don't work together, there's a lot of wasted time, a lot of wasted effort. It's more dangerous for everyone involved. And most importantly, the individuals don't get the actual treatment that they need to help them break the cycle.
And success comes in fits and starts. The group recently found treatment at the Fort Lyon Residential Community for one client, and a mental health court launching later this summer could help repeat offenders transition out of the criminal justice system.
I do not want to communicate in any way that we're doing well. We're not doing well.
Dworkin says both Larimer County and the state have a long way to go. After voters rejected a new jail sales tax, the 15-year-old existing tax will expire at the end of 2014. That means the county is cutting funding to things like the Flex bus line in order to fill the void. And he says more psychiatric beds are desperately needed at the State Mental Health Hospital in Pueblo.
We're doing the best we can with the services, and that's helpful for some, but we are so far behind the average curve compared to other states in what resources we have available. We are really behind the eight ball.
For KUNC, I'm Grace Hood.
And you can find this story at our website at kvnf.org. The series continues tonight with a look at intervention and mental illness. KUNC's Jackie Fortier looks at how state law may be impeding health professionals trying to curb high suicide rates. Stay tuned for Krista. Stay tuned for Joanna with the sweet sound for KVNF News. I'm Patricia Naft.